Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What a beautiful throw by the Baker!
Victor! Hasta la vista, baby! Touchdown!
Good evening, Cleveland Browns fans. Welcome to the OBR Twitch channel. Thank you for joining us. My name is Stephen Thomas, as you can see right there, at Browns Mock Draft on your screen. We are glad that you are here. We are the only channel on the Twitch platform that is a partner that is dedicated to covering the Cleveland Browns, all the Cleveland Browns, and only the Cleveland Browns. Since it is a bye week this week, we had an idea. Since Thursday night is normally roundtable, where we preview the upcoming game on Sunday. There is no game on Sunday, and we all need that for our mental health. We thought we would do something a little different, get a very early look at a mock draft, take a spin through the Draft Network's mock draft simulator. So I am joined by two of my very good friends. First one here, one of the best film guys in the business, Mr. Jake Burns is here. How you doing, Mr. Jake?
Steve, I'm great. Let's do some drafting. Stay right. Positive and draft. Let's do it.
Now, the draft is always fun, right? Because it's a time of hope. It's kind of like Christmas. It's a renewal.
Yep.
And we can talk ourselves into stuff. Speaking of talking ourselves into stuff, another guy that loves the draft and does tremendous work. If you read my weekly mock drafts, you see his tweets with clips in them embedded frequently. Real Corey Kinnon, not one of the fake ones. The real Corey Kinnon is here. Corey, thanks for joining us. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing great. Draft season's year-round, but it's finally time to start talking about it.
Yeah, it is year-round, but we're one of a very few people in a wild, wacky clan that think that. And December normally is a time where people stop throwing rocks at us when we talk about draft. So. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us. You guys in the chat, if you have questions, we're only going to be doing the first four rounds. Couple announcements of how we're going to do it tonight, because we're only planning to be here for about an hour, and we want to give each pick a decent amount of talk so we can look at a few guys and talk about options and things like that. So we're only going to do the first four rounds, which for the Browns means five picks. They have an extra fourth round pick this year. The second announcement is we're not doing any trades. We're not even going to look at them. It's way too early for that kind of stuff. So if a trade offer comes up, and it almost certainly will, just going to ignore it immediately. And on the final thing is that this is the board. If there's somebody on there that's ranked 247th, but we want to pick them at pick 75, we're not going to do that because that would be terrible value. If you're not going to follow the board that you're using, what is the point? So, guys, anything you want to say just general looking at the Browns' needs and targets and that sort of thing before we get started here?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what they need. Defensive interior is an idea spot. We know they desperately need wide receiver. You know, Steve, you and I'm sure Corey, you're aligned with this too, is DBs. I can't take enough of those guys. We should probably focus on a linebacker in the first round. Just let's get that out.
Right. Especially when that's a redshirt senior. Let's start there.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. It's too bad Devin Lloyd didn't declare last year. Really liked him last year. We could have got him and Linderbaum both. We could have stole them last year, and now this year they're probably going to be out of range. Corey, obviously wide receiver, defensive end, because we don't know what they're going to do with Clowney and Tack and those guys, and defensive interior, safety would probably be next on that. And then there's, you know, you can make a case for tight end or maybe a tackle or something like that. But anything out of the ordinary that you want to bring up, any positions out of the ordinary that you want to bring up before we get rolling here?
You just hit on it. I was going to say, you know, with a late season injury to Conklin, that's going to be a pretty long recovery, and how kind of unimpressive our backup tackles have been, like the fringe top 100, maybe end of day two, early day three. You could see offensive tackle enter the board potentially for the Browns. So, but you hit on that. So, I'm ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those, Kyle Hamilton actually just made a Kevo 680, one of our regulars. Thank you for being here in the chat. We always love you being here. Kyle Hamilton obviously has been the class of the safety, this upcoming safety class for the whole time. And he was supposedly out for the year, but he just said today that if it works out that Notre Dame makes the playoff, he might come back and play another game for them. So another chance for him to shine on a national stage. For you guys in the chat, I think I said this, but if I don't, if you have questions or players you want to look at, throw them in here. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Let me go ahead and share this. I hope you guys can see this. I know it's kind of small, but this is how we're running here. So we're going to go ahead and start the draft. You can see the first two picks there. Speaking of Kyle Hamilton, he went second to the Texans. Kayvon Thibodeau, long considered the number one overall pick, although lately Aiden Hutchinson is giving him a run there. And there he goes third. A lot of the edges going off the board, as you can see there, guys. Browns currently picking 15th, which we'd hope they're not doing by the end of the year. And there we go. There's a trade offer. Not even going to look at them. All right. We are on the board. I know your guy just went at 14 there. Corey's probably throwing things. You're a big David Ojabo fan, aren't you?
I am a big David Ojabo fan, but I'm a bigger fan of a wide receiver in the first round, and not a single one went off the board in those top 14 picks.
Right, right. So let's do that first here. I am going to go ahead and bring up the wide receivers. I mean, you really, the first like seven or eight names, you can't go wrong. And it's so early at this point, these guys could shift up and down. You know, some of them could end up, you know, early day two. Some of them could be top 10. By then, it's a long draft process. Corey, we'll go to you first since you are our guest from outside the OBR here. Which guy do you want to look at first? Because I do have some basic just YouTube highlights right now. No all 22 or anything, just basic YouTube highlights. Which guy do you want to look at here first?
It's Garrett Wilson. If they're all there, it's Garrett Wilson. The best pure route runner, best pure separator in this class, which the Browns desperately, desperately need somebody who can win off the line, who can be really manipulative and shifty at the top of his routes and off the line of scrimmage. That's Garrett Wilson. And he's really slippery in the open field. Maybe an underrated part of his game. I don't think there's really an underrated part of his game, but just how hard he is to bring down when he has the ball in his hand. So, I mean, if this is the board and where the Browns are at, that's the guy for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong, right, Jake? Talk a little about what you like and maybe if there is an area of concern about Garrett Wilson, what you've seen.
Well, I think he's a great athlete. I certainly think I kind of always revert back, and you guys might recall this as true freshman year when he went up and made that catch against Clemson, where it seemed like he jumped about 46 feet in the air to go make a play on the football. I like him. As far as his teammate, Olave, I don't think Olave is quite as explosive. I think he's a sleek route runner, which is great. I don't think he tracks the ball as well as Wilson either. Which is not to knock him. I think Olave does a nice job, but I feel like he doesn't quite track it in as comfortably at the catch point, if that makes sense. I just don't feel like he tracks it as comfortably. Not that he can't do it. He's very good. I'd be happy with Chris Olave. Don't get it twisted. But you're starting to really like, what is the best of the best here?
Right.
You start to get tricky. I do like his run after catch. I think he's going to blow away the combine. I think he can go up and make plays on the football up in the air while not a dominating catch point. High catch point guy. He can still do it. Good body control, has a really nice means to finding the soft spot of a DB. And that means when you're running a route and you know you got them blind for a split second, he can make you feel lost when you're blind for a split second. So I like him. I do like Treylon Burks a lot too, as far as a bigger body wide receiver who can really run. I mean, he's like a mini DK Metcalf in terms of the top speed he can get to at the size he is. So I don't have – listen – this isn't going to make a caveat. I'd be happy with a lot of these guys. There's it's just at this point, the guy I've been tracking, and I know I'm not alone here. I just have always thought Wilson, for whatever reason, and he's gotten better, more nuanced as he's gone, is a guy who I believe is the most complete package at the position. Now, this is going to sound stupid too, but he's a Lake Travis guy. His quarterback will be a Lake Travis guy who will, you know, he'll be a guy that he respects automatically. I don't think there's any doubt that Baker has supported Garrett. If you go back to when Baker was drafted, there was a video of him there and talking about how special he was going to be. I think there's, you know, I do think there's a little bit element to the closer tie to the quarterback already. You know, who knows if Baker will be here for the long haul? I don't know. You know, he's at least going to be here for the rookie season of one of these guys. So there's a little bit of that, not a lot of bit, but a little bit. So it's something. I just, in my opinion, where I feel comfortable not having talked to these guys personally, not having, you know, had them teach me what they know, all the things that we don't get to know, guys. You don't know how that is. What I see on the field, I really think he's the guy for me. So I would be picking many guys I would like, but this is the guy I like the most.
If I can add, go ahead, Steve.
Quick shout out, Thud86. Thank you for subscribing for the fourth month in a row. We appreciate you guys. I should note quickly, I wanted to do this at the top and it slipped my mind. We will be giving away tickets, not tonight, but we will be giving away tickets to the Ravens game and the Raider game over the coming weeks. We will have those. Subscribers always get a slightly better odds, a chance from the odds that the bot gives here when we do the giveaways on Twitch. So if you wanted to do that, those first two links I put in there, you can get them for free. We watched Olave while Jake was talking. We've got Treylon Burks on the screen right now. So, Corey, I wanted to go to you. You wanted to tag on to something that Jake said. Talk a little bit about Olave. Talk a little bit about Burks here.
Yeah, so what Jake said, I resonate with 100%. I'd be happy with a lot of these guys. But when you come down to where we're at now, it is getting really nitpicky. And I honestly think, going back to what Jake was saying about Olave, is he's struggling right now with footballs a little bit outside of his frame. So maybe those throws that are a little bit outside of the width of the shoulder. He's having a hard time dealing with those footballs right now for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. Treylon Burks, I absolutely love as well. Very big vertical threat. Reminds me a lot of Josh Gordon. Very strong after the catch. You'll see Arkansas really use him as an extension of the run game as well, which is tremendous given he's 6'3" and 230 pounds. There's one guy on the board too that I think is really going to be in this conversation by the time the combine comes, by the time the season ends, and that's Jameson Williams as well. He's going to be up there by the time April rolls around. Again, feels weird. We've been talking about three Buckeyes now. If you want to consider Jameson Williams as well, legit 4.2 speed. If we want to talk about a guy who could track the football, just ridiculous. When we talk about those Alabama guys, we talk about Ruggs, we talk about Waddle, those speed guys. I don't think he's as nuanced as a route runner as Waddle was. I thought Waddle was tremendous.
Yes.
Absolutely tremendous at every level of the field. But I think he's probably in that same mold as Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs was, for better or for worse, where we're at with Ruggs right now. But during his time at Alabama, an underrated route runner. A lot of people just saw him as a speed guy. And I think Williams is going to get thrown into that same kind of mold. Oh, he's just a speed guy. I don't think that's true. I love the way he tempos when he's playing across the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. I love the suddenness in and out of his breaks as well. So Williams is definitely a guy I would even consider at 15 overall as well, and probably will be considered by the time the draft rolls around.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And people have been asking about Drake London. He's the next guy I have queued up in our highlight thing here. And the thing I wanted to ask you, we'll start with you, Corey, and then we'll go to you, Jake, is, and we've seen this become more common over the past few years as rookies are being asked to step in and take on bigger roles in the passing game because of the way the game has evolved and the way that the rules have evolved to favor the passing offense just so ridiculously much. You have to be able to separate at the college level. And that's one thing we're going to talk about with this next guy, with Drake London, is there's questions about it. I think he can, but we'll get to it. And all the guys that we've talked about so far, Burks, Williams, both the Buckeyes, extremely much better route runners than maybe you would find from a wide receiver class 5-7 years ago or something like that, because they know they have to be able to separate. Because if you cannot separate at the college level, it is extremely unusual that you will suddenly learn to separate from NFL level cornerbacks. So any of those guys can separate well. Obviously, we know the speed. The numbers are ridiculous, the raw numbers. They've all got 11 jillion catches for a billion yards. It's insane. So any one of those guys would be fabulous. Now, this guy here, there's been a couple of questions, and he has the added element of being 6'5 and about 220. Now, normally in the past, guys that were that big, you know, they were sort of plotting, you know, red zone guys and that. Drake London is anything but, and a lot of his highlight reel catches are contested catches because he's so very good at it, and he's dangerous at the catch point, and he's a fighter at the catch point. But he is not, we've seen a couple of them in the past few years, Corey, right? The guys where that's the only tool in the toolbox. You can't be just a contested catch guy at the college level, and he is not that, right?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Correct. You'll see. I mean, when he was healthy, he broke his ankle, unfortunately. But when he was healthy, like, he was the target on a multitude of quick hitters, manufactured touches. He would average 15, 16 catches a game, and it'd be catches just like this. We know where they're looking to get him into space. He can run after the catch. I mean, he's a physical dude. Again, where he is going to win most frequently, though, is at the catch point. Mm-hmm. But we've seen a guy like Mike Evans, which I believe Drake's probably a little more athletic than Mike Evans is, who have been able to have a career winning down the field, winning at the catch point. But Mike Evans is also very good at melting into zone coverage, very good mm-hmm. at recognizing mm-hmm. where soft spots are. But I think Drake London is along that same line. So maybe while he's not the greatest separator at the top of his routes, I think he's really subtle, really savvy at the top of his routes. Again, mm-hmm. you'll hear people say wide receivers should always be trying to commit offensive pass interference. Drake London is very good at committing offensive pass interference in a very subtle way, where he's getting those little added steps at the top of his routes. He's just a very smart receiver. And again, he'll beat you up at the catch point too.
Yeah. And Jake, he's one of those guys. He was, for most of this season, the only threat on USC's offense. Everybody knew he was getting the ball, like Corey said, 14, 15, 16 catches a game, and they still couldn't stop him. I mean, what does that say about a guy like that when he can do that at, you know, the Pac-12, maybe not the SEC, but certainly the top echelons of college football competition?
Well, you know, I haven't studied London as much as I probably should, partly because just like where Cleveland's expected to draft and some of those things, I just haven't gotten to him yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, if you're playing against Power 5 teams and they can't literally keep the ball out of your hands, it does mean something. I don't know what it means yet because I haven't really gotten to studying him a ton. I have seen highlights, as you've shown, but I have not dug deep on him. But he doesn't seem limited. Where you get sort of into dangerous territory, I think Corey just alluded to it, is when you get into the N'Keal Harrys of the world, where mm-hmm. all they do well is go up and get the football.
Right.
Like, that doesn't translate as well as it needs to, because, oh yeah, the other guys in the NFL that play corner are a little bit better now, and they're going to probably handle that to a higher degree, I guess is the way to say it. But if you have that in your bag as somebody that can separate, but also then kind of like Jamar Chase, I think people underestimated his ability to separate on top of going up and getting the football, or separating at the very tippy top of those takeoff routes, some of those little nuanced things. It's a nice thing to have. You're 6'5 and some change. You're going to naturally, organically do some of those things. So he's fun. I think he's definitely worthy of being a day one conversation guy into day two, but it's going to be pick your flavor at the end of the first round, as it always right. is, guys. Yeah. You're going to find that there's a group of them, the David Bells, the Jahan Dotsons, that are going to be the end of the round one guys, in my opinion. We could change. Going to be the end of the round one guys into day two, where and what we'll do, guys, as I would imagine, Steve, you would agree with this, is we'll go through this. We'll look at we'll take our first round guy. Then when we get up to our second pick, we'll kind of play this out as if we had taken a D end early and look at what day two receivers would be interesting. Cause there's a good group of day two receivers, I think we would all agree. But yeah, I mean, London's, he seems, I want to watch more of him. I don't want to sound uneducated and stupid, but I also don't want to tell you guys the wrong thing right now. The productions are off the charts. It's real. How is he getting it? I think Corey alluded to it. I think the size is a factor. He's going to run a little better than people anticipated. And I'm also not totally convinced he comes out this year either. I'm not totally convinced. I think he's pretty young, isn't he?
He'll be 20 at the day of the draft.
Yeah. 20 at the day of the draft. Some exciting things are going to be happening at USC. I'm not totally convinced. So I don't know. We'll see if he declares. I'll study him more. But if there's like, oh, there's every year, guys, there's one or two guys who are like, wow, he didn't declare. I just, you know, is he rushing through rehab? Does he not feel good? Hey, it's a loaded wide receiver class. I'll still be 21 when the next class comes up. I could be the dude in the next class. Maybe I don't want to go round two. I'd rather go round one and secure the bag a little bit more. And hey, it's not all too bad to go back to school USC for a year, as I think we could all agree. So I'm just saying, could happen.
Yeah, they were in the news. Something, I don't know what they did something this week. Yeah. I don't know.
A lot of money.
Tiny little story. I just saw it in the back pages or something. Like, Kevo, we will get to your question about that in just one second. But there's one more guy I wanted to bring up here. And I will go into this by echoing what you guys just said. Don't take it the wrong way. We're not saying we don't care if a guy is good at contested catches. It's great. And in the NFL, you almost have to be at least passable at it to be good. But it can't be the only tool in your tool belt at the college level, because it's very rare that that translates into success at the NFL level. It's got to be one of the things you do. You have to be able to separate. And one of the guys who we're not talking about with day one as much, although Jake brought up his name, is the kid from Penn State. And I'll go to you, Corey, on this guy. You want to talk about a guy who can separate and has some of the strongest hands, like snatches the ball out of the air that I've seen in a long time. Jahan Dotson. Talk about Jahan Dotson for a little bit, because he's probably going to be in the conversation depending on which part of the first round the Browns end up in.
Yeah, he can pluck it. I mean, I go back to that play he had against Sean Wade last year where, you know, for better or worse, Sean Wade at the catch point during his last year at Ohio State was where he took the most heat. But Jahan Dotson plucked it off of his head last year. So I 100% agree he's got some of the strongest hands in the class. He's very explosive. So getting open down the field is where he thrives. Again, he's a good blind spot attacker, kind of the same way that Garrett Wilson is. And that's kind of how he wins. But again, just goes up and gets the football. Again, he's not a guy I've watched a ton of. I've watched a few games, but I'm not as well versed on Dotson. But he's consistent. He's reliable. He's sturdy, and he's explosive. So I think he's got all the tools to be a guy. The question I would have is, can he be a number one guy? Can he be that guy you can target 10 times a game, 11 times a game, and expect him to go out and do what he's doing at the college level? I'm excited to dig in a little bit more and kind of answer that question for myself as well. But I like what I see.
Well, yeah, I mean, we should say this too. We said it at the top of the show. We'll say it again. It's first week of December, guys. Very few people who aren't named Dane Brugler have done, you know, hours and hours and hours of research on these guys. We're all still, you know, fairly early in our, so a lot of these names could change. But Kevo here brings up a good point, and we'll get to our pick here shortly. If there's a run on receivers, we mentioned the defensive end at the top of the show. We mentioned defensive tackle, maybe even safety, something like that. Where would you go? And I'll bring the board back up here and we'll go through the conversations. We'll start with you, Jake. Where would you think would be the second play if there are no wide receivers left on the board?
Can you zoom in a little bit on it and scroll for me? Open it back up.
Let me see here. I'll go to the edge. I think... How's that?
All right, that's much better. Okay. What about just emptying out position? Let's see what's all out there.
All out there? Okay, yep. Here's the whole thing. Ooh, Evan Neal's still alive. And Charles Cross. Man, you know, depending on what they do in free, if they go out and have a massive free agency again, I wouldn't put one of those, because the people are talking about Evan Neal and Charles Cross being like, and I hate this word, but, you know, generational type stuff. They're talking about him being really, really freaking good. So anyway, back to you, Jake.
Andrew Booth is really good.
Yeah, he is.
He's really good. I can't keep taking so many DBs, but he's really good. I mean, Tyler Lindebaum is really good. It's just, what's your value as a center for a long time in the NFL?
And for this team.
For this team, it doesn't make a ton of sense. It feels like a luxury pick almost, and they don't have the room for luxury. What's in the IDL group? I mean, Wyatt can play. Perrion Winfrey can play. I mean, there's some guys I like on our football team later on. I mean, I think Sanders can play, definitely.
I like Trevon Walker ton.
I mean, Georgia's got like 17 guys that I think can end up playing in the NFL.
And then down here, there's a couple of guys, Cam Thomas, Isaiah Foskey,
Foskey's
and
fun.
ZTF, man. Those are guys that I think are going to end up. ZTF, the Achilles might keep him in this range. The other two guys, I think, are going way higher than this by the end of the cycle.
I just think it's the perfect – this is going to sound crazy. It almost, when it was the 2 years ago when it perfect, and even last year, I think the Browns could be on a 3 year streak of the better positions available or what they need.
Right.
They really needed a tackle a few, 3 years, 2 years ago, lined up with where they were picking to get a good tackle. Same thing with corners last year. Thought they needed another one, and there was a nice run in the 20s, and we know what Greg Newsome is now. I don't even think they should be considering anything else. At this point, with the situation at hand, the situation of the board, take Garrett Wilson, and hey, man, let's feel like we're a better football team because of it.
Okay, let's throw it to the chat real quick. Garrett Wilson being the pick, just a simple yes or no at this point. Go for it. We'll give it a few seconds here. And if there's a lot
you're
of
like the scouts in the back of the room where yes. Like we'll let you say, but we're gonna pick who we want.
Okay? They're not gonna object to a Buckeye being picked.
Yeah. 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 It kind of feels like when my wife asked me my opinion. I'm really more of a figurehead. I'm not a voting member of the board in this house. So
yep, bingo.
Okay, there we go. All right. Yeah. We thought so, but we wanted to throw it out to you guys. So we're gonna go ahead and take Garrett Wilson. That's our guy, and let's go back and watch what happens now.
Optimistic. I would love to take a tackle. I think a development tackle would still be fine in my book. Chris Hubbard is. We'll get there, but you know, I think they need to consider that for sure.
Well, while it's rolling, go ahead and talk about.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I truly think that I don't know. Hubbard's now 2 years of injuries, and you can't keep that around. You're going to cut him because of the money situation anyway. It was so nice a few years back to have Lamb and Hubbard, and I think they need to keep drafting some young tackles that they can develop, good athletes, younger-ish players in the later rounds, and try to develop them. I mean, you have a great offensive line coach, and maybe you strike gold. That's what you want. And I would, much like I like drafting DBs, I'm you know, draft tackles, man. Yeah. Draft them. Athletic ones.
And draft athletic ones. And the guy that you mentioned there, you just scrolled out. So optimistic realist, yes, Aaron Frost, man. And he's like 290th on this board at this moment, which I think indicates to me they just haven't gotten to him yet. But I think he's going to be. And Corey, I know you've been looking
he's
at him
mean.
Too. Oh, man. I think he's top 100, right? I think he's probably in the 50 to 100 range in somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, once people get around to him, he's mean almost to a fault sometimes. I've seen some after the play stuff going on with Aaron Frost. I don't know how teams will value that. But man, I like his set. It's quick. It's explosive. He's not a guy who's going to be able to, I would have concerns of how he's going to handle NFL high side speed would be a concern that I would have. I see a lot of jump sets. I don't see a lot of explosive 45 sets where he's got to reach guy line aligned in wide nine or vertical sets for that matter. So that would be a concern that I would have, but I like him.
And that may be why some people are, and we see this every year, and I know all three of us just can't stand this because they try to do it to every single tackle, but some people have said he may be better suited at guard at the next level. And, you know, obviously people that understand it, the Duke Manyweathers and the Bill Callahans and those guys that understand it, but, you know, Brandon Thorne, they understand it much better than I do. I will wait for them. But at this point, I'd be happy with him as a right tackle. We are at pick 46. We are on the board. You see, Trevon Walker just went one pick before us. John Metchie, another guy that early in the season was getting round one, top half of round one run. Zion Johnson, a tremendous prospect. Some other guys in here, George Pickens, if he's healthy, he could go high. Mijai Sanders, like you said, Malik Willis, some quarterbacks going off the board. What do you guys want to look at next? What position?
There's a safety that I don't know if he went off the board or not that I would like to see where he's at least slated at here. Oh, he must be off the board.
Top safeties. Who are you looking for?
I was looking for Dax Hill.
Okay.
But I would assume Dax Hill is probably gone.
Okay. So do we want to look at
Dax Hill? He's like 30, right? He's so old, Dax Hill.
Did you saw that too?
I did see that. It was funny.
Okay.
Real quick, Steve, let's look at the wide receivers just to entertain ourselves and just say if they were up in round two, they didn't take one round one. Okay. David Bell would be a ton of fun here.
I've got some stuff on him. Let me go look that up.
I don't know if Trey Turner comes out.
I would love to come back and get Zay Flowers. Yeah. If we needed a second guy, you know, late day three, if he was there, he might be a second round
David
guy.
Bell. Yeah.
First team All Big Ten, you know, that matter. I mean, he produced like crazy. I think he won the wide receiver of the year award, I believe.
He's a finalist.
He's really good, man. He's fluid and just catches everything.
There's some guys in here. Khalil Shakir is really interesting, but I read, and I haven't seen, we'll have to wait for the official measurement. I heard he has really short arms, which could be an issue in the NFL. Jalen Tolbert has been mentioned to me several times. He is outside the age guardrail, as is Reggie Roberson Jr. You see him there from MSU. Romeo Doubs is a guy that I really like. And I think he has the potential. He's 173 here, which, again, I just think they haven't gotten to him yet. But I think he could be there. And then Dante Demas Jr., I'm going to keep my eyes on him for late, like that seventh round pick, because he had the and feels this guy like- here, Javon Hiley. Boy, that kid, I think he's going to go a lot higher than that, to be honest. I think he's got some stuff. But Dante Demas could be one of those guys. You take the shot on seventh round. He had the knee injury. He had the surgery. And boy, does he have some skills.
You know, maybe it's just because he's playing out of Maryland anyway, but he just feels like he's going to get drafted by the Ravens.
Yeah.
Just the type of pick, man.
There was a question here I want to go over real quick from Cram Day, who is one of our regulars and also one of our subscription gifting maniacs. He's in the club. Cram Day has gifted, I don't know, a couple hundred. It's amazing. We really appreciate it. Very quick summary of the age guardrail is, if you are 23 years old at the time of the draft, highly unlikely that Andrew Berry is going to spend a draft pick on you, especially a top 100 draft pick. Now, we should mention, we're not sure how that applies to quarterbacks, because the data on quarterbacks, and Corey, you will back me up on this, is that more starts is better. And that generally, obviously, translates to guys that are older. And there's a guy where we may talk about when we get to that fourth round pick who will turn 23 a couple weeks before the draft. Quarterback is such a unique position that it's I don't want to say you definitely get outside the age guardrail for that, but Corey, the data is pretty clear that more college starts and a little bit older guy translates to more success in the NFL at the quarterback position, correct?
Yeah, and I generally don't think, like, quarterback is such a it's the most important position in professional sports. So there's a guy who's clearly the guy. I don't think age is gonna sway a team from being like, okay, unless he's 28.
Right. Yeah.
I wish that was something that, you know, was hypothetical and never happened. But I don't think age is really even going to sway an analytical front office at quarterback. Yeah. So I agree with starts, but I think it goes even further than that. Like, if this is the guy and you really like what you want and you think he can be your franchise quarterback for 10, 12 years,
right,
you're not going to care that he's 33 in 10 years or 34 in 10 years. You're going to be thrilled that you got a guy that you think is the guy. So
absolutely. And a quick note here. I agree with you, D-Dent. I'm just going to say Buenca. David Bell is one of those guys. And Corey, I know you've looked at him too.
D.D. Nienberg. Did I get that right?
That was D.D., exceptionally German. That was exceptionally German. I enjoyed that. David Bell, and I know you've studied him, Corey. It's weird to study him because he doesn't do any single trait at an elite level, but he does every trait at a very good level, right?
Yeah. He reminds me, you know, of a guy I loved last year in Rashad Bateman. Not super athletic. I mean, he ran in the 4.4s at his pro day. Those numbers or whatever, but Rashad Bateman wasn't overly explosive. But he's all the subtleties, all the nuances of playing the position, the footwork, the hands, the knowing how to manipulate DB's hips to create that ounce of separation. Those are the things that good wide receivers thrive at. And even if he's not, you know, the most explosive, the best athlete, if you can do that, you can thrive in this league for a long time. Hunter Renfro is opening up the hips of DBs, and he looks like my nephew. So if you can do those things well, you can win in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of the edge rushers. It does not look like the board fell particularly well for us to go wide receiver and then edge, but it's another position. First guy here, Kingsley Inegbury from South Carolina. He's got a lot of athleticism, maybe a little needs to work on being more stout in the run game, right, Corey?
Yeah. Absolutely. Another guy I need to check out a little bit more of, but the thing that pops off the thing with Kingsley, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, but with Kingsley is how well he can bend, his athleticism, the lower body flexibility he has. That dude can take some tight corners. Again, there is the worry that he might be a pass rush specialist, but at this point, if it's not a first round investment and you're looking for somebody who can get after the quarterback, you might be okay with that. Again, as far as setting the edge goes, as far as being physical in the run game, yeah, there's definitely some room for improvement, but what he brings athletically, what he brings with his lower body flexibility, the way that he can win off a high side is there.
Yeah, it's pretty special. But Jake, and this was a discussion last year, there was a big argument about it when they signed Jadeveon Clowney. The way the Browns run their defensive line, the guy opposite Miles, of course you would love to have him scream around the corner and have a be a 10, another 10-plus sack guy. But they really like guys who can not only rush the passer but can set the edge and be stout in the run game, right?
Yeah, because they'll mess with Miles' fit so often that they like having – a guy who can play outside in and run game without, you know, it actually works out really well that Clowney's not an exclusive bend guy off the edge because mm-hmm. he can play a little more of how they like that strong side end to play. So optimistic realist asked another question. I think he's got some good ones here. Linebacker to me. Okay. Let me kind of lay this out. I think that they like Jacob Phillips a lot. Mm-hmm. I think they think he's going to be a player whenever he can stay healthy. Now, you can argue and say, fair, he's not been healthy. Rough rookie year, freak injury, second year. When are we going to see him? I think they really like, if they do keep Ronnie Harrison, I think they're going to realize he needs to play closer to the line of scrimmage a lot. They were at their best defensively when he was playing a ton of dime backer last night. JOK, I think, has all pro future. I don't think that's hyperbolic at all. I think he's proving it every week right now that his potential ceiling is an all pro backer. And as at the minimum, if he didn't miss any games, I think he'd make the Pro Bowl this year. I think he's playing that well. Then you also can say, okay, between Wilson and Taki Taki, you have a Sam who can play 15 to 20 snaps a game. You know, that's fine. I think those players are fine. That's three. Then you got Tony Fields. You got, you know, maybe you add another veteran type like Malcolm Smith. And it's like, why do we need to invest another high pick in that? So I just don't necessarily think linebacker is going to be one that they're, unless somebody like JOK, a player like that, stumbles into the second round again. And I don't see anybody like that right now. Could be. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Corey. I'm mostly digging into this stuff at a deeper level after the draft, but I don't know that there's a player like that here. And I don't even know if they are even considering it, period.
No, okay. I don't think you're going to see a player like JOK for another year or so.
There are some good players here. Yeah. I mean, Tutu's good. I like Chad Muma at Wyoming quite a bit. Damon Clark mm-hmm. at LSU has been on my radar for a while. But like you just said, and like we talked about in the first round, when we looked at the Linderbaum and those guys, they're great players, certainly worthy of the pick. But are there bigger needs and better fits for this team? And I think that's where we fall into right here. I mean, would Chad Muma be worth, you know, if not this pick, the next pick at 79 or wherever we are? Yeah, I think he would. But is he the right pick for this team? I don't think so. And it sounds like you're falling into that same camp, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's look at a tight end. Somebody made a good point about the love for tight ends in Cleveland. And I want David Njoku back, but who knows? You got to be open to the fact he might not. There are some good tight ends.
It's such a good tight end class.
It's very good tight end class. Yes. Some
fun names right there. Trey McBride is a ton of fun. I think Jeremy Ruckert is just the worst offense for that dude to find success. I like Jeremy Ruckert. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they would go tight end round two, just to guess here, but Cole Turner is a productive player for Nevada. He's fun.
Greg Dulcich, yep.
Yeah.
Cole Turner, though, I think it depends what kind of tight end they're looking for. Cole Turner is definitely a flex.
Right.
A flex guy for sure. But, I mean, it's a great class to need a tight end. Trey McBride, if he's there at 124, Trey McBride is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tremendous.
So I do agree. Tight end should be something we look at here. So a lot of this, as you guys know, as we do conjecture-based things, it is – who's coming back? I think the way it's pointing, they're going to try to bring Clowney back for another year and maybe build a 2-year plan with an option to get out of it after a year. But I don't know. What does the interior group look like? I'm trying to think of spots on this defense that really need improved. Interior is definitely one.
Those first three guys can all play. Where they're ranked here, if that's where they end up being ranked, would obviously not be good value for the 46th pick. But I think they're both, or all three of them are definitely second round consideration guys by the end of the process. But
Davis gets a ton of attention at Georgia. Obviously, I think Wyatt can really play. Mm-hmm. Winfrey was all over the field against Oklahoma State. He was really, really good in that game. I mean, offensively, you start to look at what other moves are they going to make? Are they going to let somebody go like Treader go? Are they going to, you know, what is the right tackle situation look like? I don't know what the timetable for that return is. You know, maybe they don't sign anybody in the free agency. They whiff on people they really want, and they get real crazy and said, hey, we'll take Garrett Wilson and David Bell, and we'll feel really good about wide receiver for the next 5-10 years. Like, I'm just saying, it's not that crazy. If you think he's by far the best player on the board, let's just get two really good of these SOBs. Where have the Browns struggled, guys? The defense has been a little up and down, but they can't throw the football, and they don't have a ton of wide receivers. So, you know, a wide receiver group that is Garrett Wilson, David Bell, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and Anthony Schwartz is kind of fun. I mean, you immediately go from a group that's like, eh, to, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? So,
and when you look here, most people think wide receiver edge right now in some order are one and the first and second round picks.
Zach Harrison makes me nervous, man. I don't like a lot of
him
right now.
He's so stiff. Yeah. He's explosive. He's all straight line though. There's no bend to his game at all.
He's got a lot of Clowney without the elite size athleticism that Clowney brought, where he plays in a similar way where Clowney didn't bend well. And it got worse over time as his body wore down.
I also think Harrison's probably a little less physical at the point of
attack. Oh, 100%. He's a homeless man's version of him. I'm not saying he's him. Because Clowney still goes first in the draft. I mean, you go there because you're really good. But if you look at how Clowney's won in the NFL, I think it's going to be a similar path to how Zach Harrison's going to win in the NFL, using him in a bunch of weird ways, you know, or saying, hey, we don't mind that he's not going to be an elite edge-turning guy. He's going to just, you know, use long arms and clubs and try to get past you that way.
Yeah. Jermaine Johnson, for those wondering, outside the age guard rail.
Last chance, Corey, I
think it was you. I saw a tweet either today or yesterday that you wouldn't be surprised if Harrison would go back to school. And I agree with you guys. All the athleticism is there.
It's been a bad year for Harrison. Yeah.
He's going to test off the charts if he declares and goes to the combine, but I personally don't see it. Logan Hall, very interesting. Unfortunately, I did not grab any highlights of him. And then some other guys a little bit further down the board will run their highlights in Foskey and ZTF and Cam Thomas and those guys. We'll talk about that. But I got to be honest, guys. If this were the board, and obviously we're pre-free agency, we're way out over our skis here. This would be a spot where I could see Andrew Berry trading back, because there's nobody here that really trips my trigger at 46. Nobody that I absolutely have to have at 46. Now, we're not going to do that here. So I'm going to ask you guys, where do we want to look right here? I think as it sits right here, our best option is what Jake just said. We go David Bell here.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Look at safety. Something that I have thought this year, fellas, is I was worried about this, but I didn't say it. If you have a bunch of safeties who can do everything, typically you say they can do everything. You typically don't have a post safety, a free. And they have been proven here to be putting the wrong guys back deep often. I think that they have players who can play forward. So if Ronnie Harrison goes, very possible at this point, you're looking at Grant Delpit, who I'm high on. I think he can be fine over time. It's been a very rookie year for him. A lot of up and down. But you like about Grant Delpit is he can come play the slot. He can man-to-man the tight end. He can play close to the line of scrimmage. What do you like about JOK? A lot of the same thing. Or sorry, about John Johnson. A lot of the same things. Brandon Joseph, I loved his tape 2 years. I have not studied him this offseason, but it's like they need a free safety dude who can play back there and play comfortably back there. And I don't know who that is yet. I'm not ready to say it. I mean, we're doing this very early, guys. Like, don't come back and look, oh, I saw what you said in December 2nd. Like, I remember really liking some of Brandon Joseph's tape when I was studying Greg Newsom. So I'm not saying that's the guy, but that's something where I think safety is a position that they need to address. When they've been at their worst this year, it's because deep coverage has been bad. And all I'm saying is versatile safety play can sometimes cover up what you think. And if you only have deep safeties, you don't have anybody who can play close. And if you only have guys who are like really good at playing close, well, he can play deep sometimes. Who's your deep dude? If we're going cover three in a pivotal moment, who's my deep dude that doesn't take away from coming up to the line of scrimmage and being a guy up in the box? Like, that's what I want John Johnson to be doing. So, like, who's the dude that can play in the back? That's kind of what I'm getting at. And I don't know who that is. Maybe it's your Twitter feed. I'm not sure, but I'm, you know, I like Brandon Joseph. There's probably going to be some other guys when we start really digging into this, but safety is a position that is of interest to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey, what do you think of Brandon Joseph? And then Lewis, is it Sign? I should have looked that up before.
Sign's a downhill guy. So mm-hmm. if we're looking for a guy who's going to be playing deep, Sign, he's very physical, very, mm-hmm. very good in run fits, very good at running the alley, a hard hitter. Brandon Joseph has had a down year. So, I mean, I think TDN had him as like their number three, four guy, a top five guy on their board coming into the season, mm-hmm. like that high. And I love Brandon Joseph's tape as well coming into the season.
What's up with Jalen Catalan? Is that who you're just talking about?
No, Brandon.
He's another guy. When you kept hearing people talk about Arkansas, they would always kind of bring him up. I don't know what he does though. Haven't looked at it. I probably could look at it on the fly here as I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs. I have Pro Football Focus's stuff. Let's see.
Marquise Bell, the guy down there at Florida A&M, tremendous HBCU product. and Jordan Reed put him in his top 40 HBCU as his number one HBCU product, earlier in this season. I got really excited, and then I found out age guardrail. So, you know, that's a guy that we're not going to be able to take a look at. I definitely think safety could be on the board for all the reasons that you said, Jake. We thought coming into this year that they had a versatile and complete safety room. Like, we thought they had guys who could do anything and it would give them so much flexibility to disguise things and everything. And maybe they do, and they're just being used wrong. I don't know, but it certainly seems like Ronnie Henderson is playing himself into another city for next year.
Yeah. So with Harrison, you kind of lose a little bit of flexibility. Brandon Joseph has gone down. He was an 83.4 grade last year and 88.5 in coverage. He's actually had a fallback year. He's done more box stuff this year. He's up to 346 box snaps. There's almost an 80 increase there. You got to mention there's less games. His grades have gone down across the board. So he did not have a very good year this year, but there is a guy who on tape has had good tape. He had a ridiculous interception against Justin Fields in that Big Ten title game. There's something there, but maybe something you could get a little bit later. Who else are we talking about? Catalan? Let's see if he's more of a deep guy or not.
I have seen people all over the board on Catalan this year. And Corey, I know you probably have too, because you follow a lot of the same draft people. Some people love him. Some people think he's got all kinds of holes in his game. So
I personally have not had a chance to take a look at Catalan. I'm not going to talk on something I don't know about. So
yeah, he's had a lot of deeper snaps, but it I think he's been hurt. He's only gotten 391 total this year. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with picking a safety here because I don't know. I don't know. I think we would trade down, or I'd take David Bell here and also be like, kind of cool. Also,
I would say, and this is something that we say all the time, this position always in the conversation, always in the conversation. And there's about four or five guys here near the top of this board of cornerback that I think are all very good, all the way down to Jermaine Waller coming back from the injury last year. I think he can be very, very good in the right system. Darian Kendrick has had a complete transformation.
He's been tremendous this year.
Ridiculous. Yes. Right out in Oregon, can do everything. I mean, there's a lot of – I like a Caleb Evans down at Missouri too. I mean, Missouri guys are, you know, whatever. You can say what you want because their program can be so up and down, but I really like a Caleb Evans tools. So it's another thing to consider at this point, but when it comes right down to it, I agree with you, unless you are on the quarterback in this round train, which I don't think any of us are. And then this guy here, who I know Corey likes quite a bit, would be in the conversation, but I think we'll throw it to the chat. I think we've decided we're going to go with David Bell here, and then look at some other positions down the line. Chat, yes or no on David Bell in the second round to back up the first pick, which was Garrett Wilson.
DD Nineberg, who said I did say his name right. I'm sorry. I definitely think Jordan Elliott's had a better second year than first year. I think he was a guy who I was so nervous last year. I was like, is this guy going to be able to even finish his rookie contract like Chad Thomas? Mm-hmm. But he's had some flashes, not great all the time by any stretch, but some flashes to make me think he can be in at least a first contract cycle guy. But
rotational.
Yeah, for sure.
So it looks like the chat's in agreement. We're going to go ahead and take David Bell here. And then we'll just move on. All agreed?
This would have been easier if Trayvon Walker didn't come off the pick before.
Exactly.
Much easier conversation. That's a guy who plays a lot like Clowney. You know, his inside out versatility, brute force. Yeah.
And he's got the speed. I've seen him lined up, and Foskey does the same. I've seen him lined up at linebacker, not just dropping from the edge, but I've seen him lined up at linebacker. Trevor Walker's also lined up at nose tackle. It's if he was there, that would have been the pick. I mean, we would have talked about it because we have time to kill, but, you know, he would have been the pick. So we're going to go ahead and take David Bell and let it roll here. Now, I think we almost, of course, again, we're pending – you know, free agency and everything here. And this could completely change if they were to go out and
sign.
We don't think they're going to, but if they signed a Chris Godwin or something like that, that would obviously change the conversation. But as we sit here on December 2nd,
put it this way. If you added David Bell and Garrett Wilson to this team right this second, would you feel really good about their wide receiver group all of a sudden?
Absolutely.
I think I would. So like, I get it. It's probably not optimal to take two guys, same position, one draft. But if the dudes are there and you've lost some other spots and you can't, maybe you can't trade down, whatever. It's like, okay, I got two really good football players and we might have solved this position for a while. Like we could have two really good dudes here, and why not take good players when they're right in front of you? So I don't think it's that crazy.
I think at this point now, since we did go wide receiver with the first two picks, we're almost forced to look at edge and IDL, right? And hope that some kind of value is there. Is that
what
we're looking
at? Well, let's see what wide receivers are still. I'm just kidding. Jake has targeted an area that they have to get better at.
All right, we'll go to the edge here. Nolan Smith, I know, has some fans, and there's the three guys right there: Cam Thomas, Isaiah Foskey, and ZTF. Personally, I think Foskey and ZTF those would be my guys in this spot. Either one of them, and I love Foskey's tape, and I love his fit with the way this. With the way this defense wants to run. ZTF, the only concern for me is the Achilles. Now, he tore the Achilles in April, and he's already back playing and looking explosive and fluid, so I don't know if it's actually a concern, but it's something that's going to be talked about. We'll go to you first on this, Corey. We'll go to the IDL guys after this, but quickly, the top of the guys that are available here on the edge board, thoughts on some of these guys?
Yeah, I think Nolan Smith could strike their fanny based off of, you know, how they like to profile guys by age and athletic profile. Freak athlete, young guy. There's nothing to his game yet. He's a big ball of clay. So if you want a big ball of clay, Nolan Smith is your guy to mold into a potential superstar edge rusher. He has that kind of high upside. But I mean, he is as raw as it gets right now. Cam Thomas, he could be an inside out guy. Haven't dug in a whole lot on Cam Thomas yet. But he's definitely got some game to him. Foskey though. I agree with you. Extremely explosive, very explosive. Kind of in that same mold. He's not as explosive as David Ojabo, obviously, but, very strong hands, can really punch, offensive tackles back onto their heels. A lot of closing speed as you can see there. There are some rooms to grow with his hands though. Again, but I mean, if you're picking in the third round, you're not going to get a well-rounded edge rusher who hasn't had some sort of either injury history or off the field history. So, but again, I think he can be that guy opposite Myles Garrett, the guy they're kind of looking for to set a strong edge, to win more with power, collapse pockets for Myles, opposite Myles. That could be your guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Your thoughts on what they need to look for as we watch Foskey here, and I'll bring up ZTF next, as far as the edge guy, Jake?
Well, I don't – they're kind of spoiled in a sense. They're looking for supplementary types. You know, you want to hit on somebody, but you have a template in Clowney, I think, that, you know, you're almost looking for somebody like Emmanuel Ogba too, like that type of dude, long frame. Is comfortable playing the run to the pass, not always being a pass to the run guy, can move still, good athletic traits. Foskey's good. I'd have no issue with that. ZTF seems fine too. I haven't seen a ton of him since he's come back, but you hear about some glowing reviews. And if he was a, you know, a guy that would have come out last year or whatever, whenever he came out, he's, you know, an interesting player. You know, I'm also worried about like looking at the window and then being all in next year and saying, at this point, is there a player here that could help us? Where do we need the most help? Just a part of my gut, maybe the upper left portion, feels like Clowney is coming back. And I don't know that you have to force an edge. I really think their D tackles who are just, You know, I think there's some things about McDowell I like, but the group is just so uninspiring. And I really worry about that group being a weak link again next year. Yeah, show me the board again. I'll give you my – I mean, I don't have any issue with taking an edge player. The thing to me is it's just like I've really liked what Clowney and Tack have done for them this year. And it's like when they're good, give them another year, you know. But I also don't mind taking another player too who can get some snaps in there. So,
yeah, I think if you're looking for a young edge, even if they do – and I said this in today's mock draft that came out on the OBR – even if they do bring back Clowney, I agree with you. I think it's trending that way, especially with the money they're going to save in a couple of other spots that either one or potentially both of Jeffy and Clowney and Tack McKinley could be back. But I think they're both going to be on short-term deals again.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're looking for this in the top 100, you're looking for a guy to come in and be supplemental now, but a guy that you think can step in and be that guy maybe next year or 2 years from now or something like that. And I think all these guys have those kind of traits. So I agree with you. And defensive tackle, yeah, absolutely. I don't have any video of those guys, but let me pull this out. And then we'll bring the board back up, and I will go to the interior defensive line. There we go. Perry and Winfrey. Travis Jones, a guy that I've liked for quite some time. I know Keanu Benton has some fans too. Haskell Garrett, for the Buckeye fans out there, outside the age guardrail. And I like Otito Obonya a lot more than some other people. He's near 200 here. If they can get him in the sixth round, he could be the third consecutive sixth round pick that we love from Andrew Berry. But here's the avail. You wanted the defensive tackle guys. Here they are, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, I like Mathis, but he's older. I think he's outside the guardrails. I mean, Winfrey was a little better his first year at Oklahoma. I do like him, though. I think he's going to end up near 30 pressures for the year. Boy, it's not an inspiring group. Let me see the edge players one more time.
Honestly, I think free agency is going to be the move for defensive tackle because they have three young guys in the rotation already.
Yeah, or somebody like Haskell later, they've shown a propensity to bend later in the draft, right? They'll bend a little bit more.
They'll get closer to 23, but they have yet to go over 23.
More undrafted free agent guys.
Yes.
So there was a guy on the board.
Hang on, Steve, you went off the mock.
Sorry.
So there's a guy on the board here that is listed a little bit lower, has some glaring off the field issues, but when he's on the field, he's tremendously strong, fast, flexible. And that's Sam Williams out of Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Williams would be a top 50 pick if there weren't some pretty egregious things in his past, that at least he's gone to court for. So is this the range where they might take a chance on a guy with some
Sam Williams with 61 pressures this year, 13 sacks, 40 hurries, a 90.2 pass rush grade.
He's very good. He is extremely explosive, but
it's a
big
lot.
Red flags.
It is a lot. Let's go back to a position somebody else asked about a little while ago, because now we're in the range where these guys. And again, you know, we're so early. I'm pretty sure Cole Turner is going to move up. I'm almost positive, you know, Greg Dulcich is going to move up. James Mitchell was a guy I really liked before he got hurt earlier in the year. Jake Ferguson, had he come out last year? I think he's a little too old for us this year. But I do have some film here of the tight ends. So, Corey, you said before, and Cole Turner is the guy I'm going to bring up first here. And I agree with you. He's more of a flex tight end. He's more of a big slot, if that's what you want to do, than a traditional inline tight end. He can do it, and he puts in the effort, but he's a former wide receiver, and you can see from his build and his hands and everything like that that he's more of a bigger wide receiver playing tight end than a tight end, what you would traditionally think of, right?
Absolutely, yes. They throw him – I mean, him and right here, him and Carson Strong have that back shoulder fade. Well, that's not a back shoulder, but they have that back shoulder goal line down to a science. I want to know how many of his touchdowns alone are just on those throws, but incredibly strong hands. I've seen him make some just fingertip grabs in traffic. They're just unreal. He's athletic. He's going to be fast. But maybe, you know, if you think David Njoku, he's really developed as a blocker. He can be our inline guy. We don't really feel like we need to flex him out as much as we could. We can really exploit the slot if we have two of those dudes who can, you know, one who can exploit the seam from inline and one from the slot, the opposite side. They might go that direction because, again, David Njoku has developed into that guy that, I mean, I think David Njoku could play right tackle right now if they needed him to. Turner's tremendous. Again, he's a catch point guy. You're not super concerned about that with tight ends. With tight ends, again, you're looking for mismatches, and he's an absolute mismatch.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jake, it's not unusual, and this is not to excuse it or say don't worry about it or anything like that. It's not unusual for a college tight end to be far more advanced in the pass catching part than the blocking part, right?
That's
the part
modern usually, day, of course. Unless you get them out of Wisconsin or someplace that uses them, you know. I have some eyes on some guys later that, you know, are interesting to me, kind of around the area where they took Harrison Bryant. They get interesting to me. Yeah. We're leaning on our intuition here a little bit, guys. I do think David will be back. I think there's a mutual desire on both sides to get something done. So that doesn't mean they don't add one. We've seen them really only have three this year, right? And you know that Hooper after 22 starts to become more feasible to let him go. So I'm interested, maybe not here, but definitely interested. I think you take an edge player you like, partly because I think that's where the most talent sits right now on the board. As we, again, are sitting here on December 2nd.
And Trey McBride, we're watching now, in case anybody's wondering. Yeah.
He's a good
player. So, yeah, it's and I agree with you. It seems like, you know, we all think and most of us hope David Njoku will be back. Austin Hooper's here for next year. But with this offense, and we've been arguing about wide receivers and everything, they love their tight ends. He's going to use his tight ends, regardless of who's at wide receiver. So you always need somebody in the pipeline. So it would not be out of the question for a guy like a Trey McBride or, you know, Greg Dulcich or, you know, whoever that they pick. It's a very good tight end class, as Corey alluded to earlier. If things go a certain way in free agency, they could even look at tight end as early as where it was mentioned, the second round, right?
Yeah.
Corey?
They could. It depends on the kind of body type, athletic build they want out of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Second round tight end, I mean, there could be one going off the first round, but if they were to go a second round tight end, you'd be looking at a Weidermeyer. You'd be looking at, I think, Trey McBride could be a second round tight end by the time we're said and done. So, yeah.
Okay, so I think we're settled that we're going to grab one of these edge guys. My vote at this point would be for Isaiah Foskey. What do you guys think?
I wonder why.
Yeah, you know me, I'm a homer.
Yeah, I like Foskey too. Yeah, I think he's a good
flexibility. Chats, we'll throw it to you before we make the – would you be okay, yes or no, with Foskey at this pick, the way it's gone so far? All right, I'll take that as a yes. There we go. So we're going to go ahead and grab Isaiah Foskey, and we're going to let it run. We've got two more picks. We're going to try it. We've gone a little longer. Gee, shocking, right, Jake? And we never go long on
never.
This.
Yeah. Never.
We never go longer than intended on these things. Bernard Raymond, guy I really liked until I found out he's already 25. 24.
Yeah, he'll be 25 by his rookie season.
Oh, but he's so good. I was so disappointed when I found that out. All right, we're back on the board here, and let's take a look at our picks. There we go. We've settled the wide receiver position, hopefully.
Yeah.
And we have grabbed Isaiah Foskey to go out on the edge. I think the IDL, is there another position you guys want to look at? Let's take a look there. A lot of those guys we were talking about are gone. Keanu Benton, I think, is going to rise a bit. Like I said, I like Otito Obonya, but we put the rule in. This is our board, so we're picking at 103. Otito Obonya is 190. That's not good value right there. So what other positions do you guys want to look at here?
Can you zoom in? Am I blind? I might be blind. Maybe I need to zoom in.
I really like Tyler Davis out of Clemson. He got hurt super early in the season, so that really stinks. Tyler Davis is a good player at defensive tackle.
There he is.
I really would. But I think he's probably going to be a guy that goes back to school, considering he got hurt in September. So,
What else do we want to look at here, guys?
I'm intrigued by Benton as well.
Yes.
So here's a question for Jake. Maybe Benton would be a guy. He's a big dude. So he would be a shade, a 1T shade. You know, do you think that the Browns would be better off looking for a shade and allowing McDowell to play a true three? Or do you think they'd be better off looking for a three and allowing McDowell to stay in the shade?
I think McDowell can play either of them. So if you do come across somebody at either position you really prefer, I think it's fine. I mean, McDowell, look at how he lines up. He lines up like a three tech. He does the sprinter stance stuff. I probably would prefer to move him to three for somebody who's a little more cloggy inside. if you can. You know, the Browns have had some run game issues in a couple games at the later portions of the year because teams have figured out how they try to use Clowney and how they try to use Miles to compensate for what goes on along the interior. So, yeah, I don't mind either. So if you fell in love with either a three or a one, I think you got some flexibility with him. I really do. To not answer your question at all.
One of the guys that I do like, and here somebody asked about the available tackles. Here's what we got. We have not honestly looked at them because we thought we were set there. We haven't done – I personally haven't done a ton of looking at most of these guys, but the guy that we like – oh, wait a minute. I know why I can't find him. He is listed here. There he is. There's a guy that I know you like, and we talked about him briefly, Aaron Frost. He plays right tackle, has exclusively played right tackle as far as I know. They have him listed as interior offensive line on this board. And the fact that he's still sitting at 225, again, the TDN guys do such a great job, okay? I love all the work that they do. Him being that far down when everybody else is saying top 75, maybe, you know, even sniffing top 50 type stuff, tells me they just haven't gotten to him yet. So, you know, don't take that to mean anything other than that right there. But I think somebody asked about the tackles. There we go. The kid from Penn State, Braxton Jones, has got some fans. Tyler Vrabel, we all know who his dad is, has got some fans. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to throw gasoline onto the fire here. I've got a guy. I'm going to throw some highlights up here. And Corey's grinning because I think he knows where I'm going here. Kid getting a lot of press the last week to 2 weeks, Bailey Zappe, from quarterback from Western Kentucky.
Got questions about that name as a quarterback and making it work.
Well, it makes us happy.
Got some questions. Zappe time. Zappe now, time, not bad, Ian. Zappe time.
Obviously, the numbers are ridiculous, and some of that is a little bit inflated because they throw the ball over yard in that air raid. Oh, but yeah. As you can see here, he's not just an air raid. He's got the pocket presence. He goes through his progressions. He's got a cannon for an arm. He is decisive. He puts the ball on time, and in his ball placement is generally very, very good. Obviously, like I said, he benefits from schemed up easy throws, but it has been brought up in the wars of the past few weeks that maybe they don't go early quarterback, but maybe they grab somebody on day three that they think they can develop or that kind of thing. Now, Corey, I don't think personally he's going to stay day three. He's going to the Senior Bowl, and they are very excited about him. Jim Nagy's tweeted about him a few times about it, and I think he's going to really increase his draft stock if he has a good week there in Mobile. But I don't know how much you've done on him, but I know you look at quarterbacks quite a bit. Your thoughts on Bailey Zappe and potentially his fit in this offense?
Yeah, so starting with the fit in the offense, air raid to outside zone would be a pretty big leap. I also question the zip that he throws with the RPMs he generates. Mm-hmm. I've seen somebody, and I kind of dig it. I think his arm's a little bit better than this, but I've seen somebody compare him to Case Keenum coming out of Houston, where Keenum stacked up those massive numbers for the Cougars when he was in college.
I think his arm's better than that.
Yeah. I do too. I think his arm's better than that. I don't think his arm is tremendous. Like that opposite hash kind of took a little while to get there. He is, however, you mentioned his ball placement, of the guys I've charted, the most accurate quarterback in this class, which is saying quite a bit. I like Zappe. If you're looking at him day three, I would be okay with it. I would absolutely be okay with it. I don't know.
Focus metrics here. I'll throw them to you while you are talking. He's pass grade for the year is 85.2, which is 29th in the class. He's had 36 big time throws, which is tied for most in the class. Other caveat is that he has had 22 turnover worthy plays, which is third most in the class, but the turnover worthy percentage is pretty good. So yeah, based on how many times they throw, his average distance of target is 8.2. So his adjusted completion percentage, pretty strong. Let me see here if I can get it to pull back up. I can't. Sorry. I don't know. You guys can keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but just wanted to give you some metrics to some of those.
Well, yeah, and to be clear, we're talking about a guy early day three here. This is not a guy we're sitting here on this show on December 2nd saying, this is the guy that can come in and replace Baker Mayfield day one and take us to the prom. We're not saying that, okay? We're saying if they were in a situation where they move on from Keenum to save that money and they don't like Nick Mullins and they don't bring in a, you know, somebody else, I don't know who it would be at this point, but a veteran backup or something like that. And they're looking for somebody to come in and, you know, maybe develop behind six for a year or two or whatever. This would be the range that they might be looking at that. And if Zappe is around in this general range, he's one of the guys that they might, you know, be looking at. Right, Corey?
Could be. Yeah. So the thing that has to be mentioned, though, is especially in today's NFL, everybody wants the tools, both the big arm and the ability to extend, to make plays outside of structure. Zappe doesn't have really either of those things. So, but if we're talking day three, you might be okay with that. I think he's better than Davis Mills was last year, where Davis Mills went. I think he's better than Davis Mills, but I don't know if that's exactly high praise. I would struggle. I struggle with Zappe as a prospect for that reason. I think he's tremendous as far as ball placement accuracy goes. I think he's tremendous at getting through his progressions, especially in an air raid offense. Those tools, it's hard to say. You can take this guy, you can sit him and hope that he develops into something. I think Zappe can make a very good long-term backup and spot starter.
Okay, and to be clear, I just want to be clear because, again, we haven't done a ton of looking at this guy, but I've seen him make – he's not a statue, but he's not Lamar Jackson, right, obviously, either. He can – it's not like he's, you know, I don't know, end of his career Marino or Bernie Kosar, you know, something like that where you know where he's going to be every single time he drops back. He can maneuver in the pocket. He can get outside. He can keep his eyes downfield. But he's not somebody that's going to threaten you all areas of the field when the play breaks down, like a Mahomes type or something like that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just wanted to throw that out there because it's been the big talk lately. It's been everything. And this is the range where something like that might happen. But I think if the conversation is what I think we're back to either an IDL or a tight end, right?
Can we see the safeties?
You want to see the safeties
and the corners? Let's look at the DBs.
Okay.
Smoke Monday, great safety name. Just an absolute
wonderful name.
Fantastic name.
Jalen Petre is good as well. Jalen Petre doesn't have any back end versatility to his game whatsoever. He's pretty strictly a box nickel kind of guy.
Kobe Bryant out of Cincinnati is very interesting. Very interesting, especially at this spot. I like Tywan Mullen out of Indiana a little bit later as well. I think, I don't know, there's something about him that just it catches my eye. At this point, I wouldn't be at all mad with Kobe Bryant at this pick.
So, I know we were talking earlier about Lewis. Is it Sean? Is it Sign? I can't remember. Sign. I know most Georgia defensive players are having a great year, but he's having a remarkable season.
Yeah.
A 90 coverage grade, an 82-2 run defense grade, an 89 coverage grade. He has 410 free safety snaps, 96 in the box, 85 in the slot. So, you know, he had a play last year where he almost decapitated somebody on a deep middle throw. I cannot remember.
Oh, it was Kyle Pitts. He broke his jaw.
It was Kyle Pitts. He broke his jaw.
Yeah.
That's right. He's a dude. He's a thumper, man. He's a real thumper.
I will say this, too. We were talking about him in the second round. We were sort of joking about linebacker in the second round, and I brought his name up. But this young man right here, we're talking about pick 103 now. And that might, and I stress the word might, be a range where another speedy sideline-to-sideline linebacker could be on the table. You know, like Jake said, they've got two that we think they really like Jacob Phillips if he can stay healthy. So if you can get a third, boy, does it open up a lot of stuff, especially when one of them is a guy like JOK who can play corner, who can come and rush the passer and do blah, 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 blah. So that's another thing that, yeah, we should at least bring it up at this point.
He's going to test off the charts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I've heard people – we all love Logan Wilson. I can remember jumping on the show and loving Logan Wilson back in the day when I would talk to Jake. People have said he's the better linebacker of the two coming out of Wisconsin or Wyoming over the past few years. So he's going to test tremendously. He's a Butkus finalist as well. So he's nationally recognized for who he is as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I you look at all these guys and you look at the rankings compared to where we're going to pick. I think actually I said it before and I think I'm going to change. Well, yeah, I'm going to say either Trey McBride, Chad Muma, or where was he? There was just another guy.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, yes. Those would be the three guys that I would throw out there. Thoughts?
I mean, they're going to take a DB at some point on day two, I think. It's just in their nature. like a top 100 pick to pick a DB.
All right. So are you thinking we're going to go Kobe Bryant at this point then?
I would be okay with Kobe Bryant. I would like to mention Travis Hodges Tomlinson. The way that they sling Troy Hill and run fits from the nickel that almost allows them to play base nickel. Hodges Tomlinson's a dog in that same kind of mold. He's only 5'9". LaDainian Tomlinson's nephew. Right. He's a dog. He could kind of do that same thing. If they were looking for maybe a long-term guy to play nickel, could definitely be a guy that could look into as well.
Yeah, I know. I know you like Hodges Tomlinson quite a bit. So.
Chad Muma's stuff is ridiculous.
He's wild.
He's tremendous. He's really good. He's really good, which is why I didn't think he would still be around at this range. So
yeah,
those would.
Well,
those
you could take him and you could take him and tell Phillips to Muma on over. You know what I mean? So,
okay,
Steve, not even a little laugh for that.
7 minutes. Oh, Jake gets a 7-minute mute penalty for that.
That's
joke.
A grade two mute penalty.
All right. So
you guys pick this one. I'm good.
We'll throw it to the chat then. I think we've narrowed it down to Kobe Bryant.
This is what you're
going to
get. You're going to get 17 answers, though.
Yeah. Let's go. Kobe Bryant or Chad Muma? Chat, go.
The deal breaker is that his name is Kobe Bryant. I mean, that's the tiebreaker. You cannot pass on a guy named Kobe Bryant.
Cleveland guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I have a hot take that I'm not really ready for yet regarding the Cincinnati cornerbacks, but I'm not ready to, especially publicly, to blurt it out. So.
Oh, come on.
How old is Kobe Bryant?
He's a senior.
He's got 5 years at Cincinnati, guys.
I thought I checked.
2017 was his first year there.
I think he's just under. I think I looked at it, but
for the sake of this show, let's keep him just under.
Yeah, well, let's see.
I don't have a birth year, but he is a 5 senior.
Then that's tough.
With a March birthday.
Okay, so. Well, my daughter was a 2017, and her birthday's in March, and she doesn't turn 23 until March. So that means if that's the case, then he's
23.
1 month out. So I guess we've got our answer.
Let's move on.
I guess we're going as much fun as we made of the linebacker pick. We're gonna go with them there.
Oh. I think the Browns would value a linebacker, two in linebackers who could both go sideline to sideline as well.
Sure.
What they're doing is working on the one year minimums for these linebackers to just sit, hook, curl, stuff the run. That's fine. There might be an appeal to finding two guys who can really get after it.
There's a couple guys down there. One of them just went off the board when you're talking about linebackers. Brian Asamoah from Oklahoma and Micah McFadden from Indiana. Those are both similar style guys. I think Muma is better than those two, but if you lose Muma and you really wanted a linebacker, those are two guys currently ranked on day three that I think have some tremendous tools. Those are the last pick that we're going to do here tonight. Where do you guys want to go here? Pick 128.
We've been talking about a tight end all night.
All right.
Yeah, I would take McBride and let's just call it a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Turner. I would be fine with either of them. If they were going to use, I mean, if they're going to keep doing their 13 personnel, you know, hell, they were lining all three of them up to the same side and empty the other day. Like, you know, Turner can play. He can find a mm-hmm. role here. I don't have mm-hmm. any doubt about that. I don't have any issue if McBride is the choice either. I think he's exceptionally athletic too. So either in our UCLA fellow there is fine too.
Yeah, I had the highlights. I went and grabbed them, so I wanted to go ahead and run it out here because Greg Dulcich is another guy. And Corey, I know you've been a fan of him since the preseason, like I have. Needs to work in the blocking game. Former walk-on, you love his work ethic, but he has a similar. I've been trying to phrase this properly because I don't want to take it in the wrong way. He has a similar gait and running style. Reminds me a bit of Travis Kelce. I'm not saying that's the player he is. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it's a similar stylistic running thing in the way he catches the ball. There's something about him that brings Kelce to mind. And that's a pretty good comparison to have if you're looking at tight ends at this point. Your thoughts on him, Corey?
Yeah. He's a technician as a route runner, more so than some of these guys. I think where I'm looking – what I'm thinking between Dulcich and a guy like McBride and Turner is Dulcich is a more of a guy that reminds me more of Harrison Bryant in a way that the way mm-hmm. that Harrison's going to get open is if you scheme him open.
They've got enough of those guys.
They got enough. And that's kind of where a guy like Cole Turner, you can line him up and toss him.
I don't need another Harrison Bryant. I really don't need, I mean, Harrison's fine in his role. He can block in the backfield. Mm-hmm. He can kick out. He can wham. He can do a bunch of stuff. and he can run a corner out, and if they don't cover him, he'll catch it, and he'll get 10 yards after the catch. He's fine. He's a fine player. Seems like a good dude, works hard. That rule's filled. What you need, I don't care if they don't block well. Can you go catch it? Like, can you go make people – you know, Trey McBride, this is ridiculous. He's got 91 catches on 122 targets for a tight end. That's ridiculous. 74% catch percentage. And that's he's at an 83 number his second year at Colorado State. 94.7 offensive grade and 95 receiving grade. Two straight 90 receiving grade years, if you include last year. He's had 456 yak yards. 17 contested catches. Go give me that, dude. I'm completely fine with that.
I am convinced this guy's going to be a top 75 pick.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at Cole Turner just for fun because I think Cole Turner puts up some numbers. Not anywhere near the number. His metrics aren't as – they're not Trey McBride who – yeah, dude, give me that guy. He can play.
Also, this highlight video cracks me up because I've seen it twice now throughout the show. Mm-hmm. You can literally see a Taco Bell sign from the Wyoming Stadium in one of these clips. It's just like terrible city planning to be able to see a Taco Bell.
Oh, dude, I've been out there. My brother-in-law just drove 19 hours home. We go through Laramie all the time. I stayed there once. Wyoming's
gorgeous.
It's
gorgeous.
Unbelievable, man, out there. There's 500,000 people in the whole state. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. There's a million and change in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
It's different, man. It's different to play. But there's not many Taco Bells in Wyoming. Let me tell you, so, you take the Taco Bells where you can get them out there. I would, if this is the status quo of what's on the board, Turner is a nice player, 600 yards and some change this year, two straight years of 600 yards. He's probably the more realistic player right here. But in this case, I mean, Trey McBride, there's some real like, oh, this guy's one of the better tight ends in the league type of thing for him as a ceiling. So, you know, that those metrics aren't fake. I would take him in a heartbeat here.
Doesn't turn 23 till November either.
So. Right. So, yeah, I mean, Trey McBride, and I agree with you, Corey. I think he's one of these guys that we're going to see rise through the process as we out here catch up with the league. So, as you can see, we only did four. Let me try to zoom in here. Is that coming through good? There we go. There's our haul for this year. And there were some questions about tackle. We looked at tackle. The issue, at least at this point that I see, is it's top heavy. There's some guys that are going to go at tackle very, very high, where the Browns are unlikely to be looking at tackle. And then as far as I can see at this point, and we're still very early, there's a large gap. And then you get to the developmental guys that are probably fifth round and below, which is we're not doing those here tonight. So that's why we didn't get there. So if Conklin is not back and this is a serious injury, we'll have to see on that. My guess is they may go out and get, you know, somebody in free agency to step in. Obviously they're going to hope James Hudson develops. Maybe they get something out of Alex Taylor in his third year. I don't know. There's a lot of options. Obviously the best thing would be for Jack Conklin to heal up and be ready for training camp. But I think it's December 2nd, like we've been saying. This is not a prediction of what's going to happen in April or anything like that. But I think we did pretty well here, guys. Your thoughts on our overall draft class at this point?
I love those wide receivers. I'm tired of breaking down bad wide receivers. So I'm good with it. Give the quarterback all the weapons he could possibly need. And you know, I don't think they're going to take two straight receivers by any means here. But
right.
If they did, I would be fine with it. Mm-hmm. They're that bad at the position right now overall in terms of what they're putting out there. And then you mix in that with some inconsistent quarterback play, and you have a team that scores 11 points on average over the last, since week six, if you take out Cincinnati, 16 points on average if you include the Cincinnati randomness that game. I mean, they're not scoring, guys. So they need Jimmys and Joes who can go make plays. And if it's going to be all scheme, then let's get guys who can be as open as possible in a scheme, right? Let's get guys who can create as much separation as possible to open up the margin for error. So I like it.
Yeah, and as we said at the time, you know, when we made the David Bell pick, we don't think it's going to happen this way. I mean, it could, but we don't think it's going to happen. But the board at that moment, where we were and everything else that was going on, and the fact that we lost Trevon Walker by one pick. He went at 45. He would have been an easy pick at 46 to go in at edge. It was the best value on the board at that time. Corey, again, obviously this is, you know, not a prediction of what's going to happen, but any of these guys you think are lower than where they're going to go? Your overall thoughts on what we pulled in here with these five picks?
Yeah, I agree with what Jake said about getting playmakers, obviously. I do think, even if it's not back-to-back like this, I think we'll see two wide receivers in the top 100.
We should have probably looked at them a little later on to talk. I mean, no, like, looked at a couple names, but yeah. That's our bad.
Because a guy like Zay Flowers, he went, like, right, I think the pick after he picked David Bell. But yeah. If Zay Flowers were to fall, he's tremendously shifting the open field as well, especially if they go with, a Burks or a London or a more – sturdy wide receiver down the field with the first pick that could definitely come back for a guy like Flowers. I think all these guys, I mean, Mumba's probably top 100. That seems pretty appropriately slotted positional wise, level of competition wise. Again, he's going to test off the charts. I think what a consensus here, except maybe David Bell, all these guys we picked are going to test off the charts, which from an analytical standpoint, unless they're taking those late day three picks, like we saw with Felton and LeCount, those guys weren't tremendous athletes, but that's what they're going to be looking for as well. So,
yeah, they'll bend a little. That's a good point, Corey. They'll bend a little more on the RAS scores and stuff like that when they get later. Still not. I my mind slipped to bending on the age a little bit. That was wrong, Steve. They bend on the athletic scores a little right. bit later, and age is all there. So far, again, we're not telling you this is like set in stone. But this is what they've shown us through a couple drafts. So
yeah, Cosmo put out a great couple of charts a few weeks back, and I retweeted them. You can find them out there. You can see it. It's very clear. The top 50, extremely young, extremely athletic. It gets a little bit less as you get towards a pick 100. They've only picked one guy, 22 years old, in the top 100 the last 2 years, and that was Harrison Bryant, and he turned 22 literally the day before they picked him. Now, the 22-year-olds that they picked, a little bit further down the board, it gets a little bit Dimitri Felton had a terrible day at his pro day. So, you know, those numbers and his age, he was close to 23 at the time. It does get a little bit more loose, if that's the word you want to use, the deeper you go in the draft. But to this point, they have not bent at all on 23 as far as using draft capital. Now, UDFAs, totally different story. But as far as spending draft capital, they have yet to pick anyone who is 23 at the day of the draft. And if you've got somebody who's 20 at the day of the draft, like a Mr. Greg Newsom or an Anthony Schwartz, you really need to look harder at them. Whether you agree with it or not, they think that way. So try to get inside of their head. Final thoughts here before we get out of here. Thank you guys for joining us. We went a half hour longer than we actually wanted to. Corey, final thoughts you want to get out before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. I think we exhausted our conversation. I enjoyed this. Anytime you guys want to have me back on, you know, I'm more than happy to do so. So,
well, you know, we're going to be doing it a lot during draft season, and we will have you on a bunch. Jake, final thoughts.
The chicken's spicy. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. No, I got no thoughts. It's early. It's fun. We're having fun. Mm-hmm. We're picking two wide receivers to start the draft. We'll get there. This is just meant to, again, as we sit here today, this could change in free agency. They got big issues on offense, and they got big issues at wide receiver. And those are the places that my eyes are drawn to all the time to fix. How can they get better at the wide receiver position and give Baker his best chance to be good in 22? And if that falls apart, then they'll figure out what to do after that. But for now, the offense has to improve at a place they can control. And I feel like they can control getting better at wide receiver. So we're looking there heavily. As you know, late after season cuts happen, and after the season they don't sign people back and they do make some moves in free agency, this will all get very clear. But for now, it's fun. Talk about players, talk about potential fits, and we'll get better at this as we go too. We're all very early in watching some of these guys, so we'll have more expertise as it wears on. So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right now it's you have any kind of conversation, whether in the OBR forums or on social media or regular media, it's wide receiver and then interior defensive line and edge. Those are the positions that everybody talks about. So that's what we're looking at. With the top 100 guys, we don't know what order, we don't know, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we don't even know who's officially declared for six more weeks. January 17th is declaration day. We won't get the official list until January 20th. So, you know, some of these guys that we're talking about that we just love may not even declare. So, you know, we'll just be done talking about them. So I want to thank Jake for joining us. I want to thank Corey for joining us. I want to thank all of you in the chat for watching and sticking around for 90 minutes when we were only supposed to be around for 60 minutes. I want to thank our great producer, Ian, for coming up with all the stats and the highlights and all the stuff, all that kind of stuff.
Like I said, we'll be back on Monday with Monday Rewind. We will probably be giving away some tickets to the Ravens game either Monday or maybe on Jake's show on Tuesday. I'm not sure. So be sure you're back for that. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for supporting the OBR. Thank you for supporting the OBR Twitch. And as always, go Browns.
Go Browns.